Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is El Ducho, E-L-D-U-C-H-O, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as El Ducho Thrift. I'm really excited about this week's episode. I had the opportunity to interview a friend, and her name is Ebony. You can find Ebony on Instagram under two different usernames, effortlessly.ebony and time.capsule.vintage. And both of those usernames will be in the show notes for you. And from there, you can find information for her eBay and Poshmark store and the many other platforms that she sells on as well. Ebony is a part-time vintage reseller living in Phoenix, Arizona. Ebony has been selling for 8 years now, which is so amazing. And she seems to be learning something new every year and picking up new platforms. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hi, Ebony. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hey, girl. Hey, how are you?
Oh, I love a hey, girl. Hey, thank you for that. Yes. That just brightened up my afternoon.
Yes.
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being on with me today. I am so excited. You know, we were chatting before we started the interview, talking about how, you know, we're up in each other's DMs, but how I'm so excited to hear more about your journey because I feel like that there's more for me to know. And I also was thinking last night about when we first met.
Yes. Yes.
At PoshFest 2019, right? It was 2019. You were wearing that amazing red St. John duster. Yes. Was it a duster?
It's a dress, but I hooked it up as a duster.
Oh, I loved it. That color was like so amazing on you. And you know, St. John is just like anybody who's ever thrifted it before, it's just like the knit, the Santana knit is so identifiable, you know, that I was just like, ooh, I love that piece. So that's how we first start. I think that's how we first started talking, right?
It was. You were with another gentleman and you guys were kind of like observing me and I felt you guys and I'm like, well, who is this? I'm like, who is this? You know, and it was just so dope. And you was just like, oh my God, I love it. And it was so crazy because I had never heard of Santana knit until you said it. I always knew that St. John was like popping and it was like really a great piece to thrift. But like you really expanded my lexicon, my fashion lexicon. Ooh. That day. Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Who knew?
Yes. Man? Yes.
Serendipitous moment. I love those.
Yeah.
Well, fabulous. That outfit was fabulous and you're fabulous. So I'm excited to get this conversation going.
Thanks.
So with all that said, my first question for you is how and when did you first start reselling?
Yes. So my story is just, it's like so accidental, right? But before I get into it, like secondhand, like fashion, everyone knows is just like not something that's foreign to me. Like I grew up with a single parent, you know, I've always been in thrift stores. So I've always been, you know, a person by necessity who had to shop secondhand. So, you know, when a Goodwill opened up in my neighborhood, I live in South Phoenix, represent South Side. we got a Goodwill back in 2012 and I was so excited. Because typically I would drive out to Scottsdale to get, you know, just some of the goodies for my own personal collection. So the Goodwill opened in 2012, which is when I started reselling. And I was so amazed at all the goodies that were in the store. And I just grabbed up so many things. And one thing in particular I brought home, it was a Donna Karan like cropped jacket. Like it was Donna Karan New York crop jacket. And I didn't try it on in the store. I brought it home and it didn't fit. So I was like, darn, like, what can I do with this? Because it was past the 7 days. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go on eBay right quick. So I went, whoop, 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 set up an eBay account, took pictures with my janky Android phone. Like literally the picture was so bad, girl, like no lighting on a hanger, on a wall. And like, it literally, like I literally sold it within days of me posting it online. So that was my introduction to reselling. And I've always had a full-time job. So it was just something that, you know, just kind of came from that, just that day. And, you know, as I just started thrifting more, finding little things, I just started putting those things on eBay and I started making, you know, money. It was just really cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that first item, that DKNY cropped jacket. You said that you started the account. So is that when you started your eBay account? Was that in 2012?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you've been doing this for a while, like 8 years.
I mean,
at this point, for people listening to in the future, it's 2020.
Yeah, I have. And it wasn't something that, you know, for me, I didn't look at it as just like being a reseller. I was just looking at it as like a little hustle. You know what I mean? You know, just finding these little things. I didn't have a traditional or formal business at that point. It was just really finding things and, you know, trying to make a little side money because I really wasn't making a lot of money in 2012. So it was a good way to supplement my income.
Yeah. And I'm just surprised because for a lot of people, I think that when they think of eBay, they think it's like a very cumbersome app or website to use to resell.
Yeah.
You know, what drove you to think like, okay, well, this is past its return date? I mean, a lot of people would probably just redonate it, toss it out. I don't think that most people would think to resell.
You know, I'm a Capricorn and we're hustlers by nature. So it's all about making money with Capricorns. Any Capricorn that you know, they are about their dollar bills. So for me, I was just like, what could I do with it? And it was just instinctual. Like it was just something that I did. I didn't even think about it. I was just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, upload this app and I'm just going to do it. So it was just like something intuitive that I knew just the value of this piece and how, you know, somebody would buy it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So you sell that, you have success with that item.
Yeah.
How quickly then are you going back out and thrifting to resell?
Oh my God, girl. It was like, as soon as I made that sell, like I flipped it. Like I went, and then the next time I went, I found these amazing high-waisted white leather pants that I am so mad till this day that I sold, found them, bought some other things, and I was able to, you know, sell those for like $100. I spent $5 for them, and then I flipped them, you know, at $100. So it was just after that, it was just like more. But then I had a point where I did have a pause because my husband, he's a minimalist, and our house turned into like the Sanford and Son house. Did you ever watch Sanford and Son growing up as a kid?
No, I didn't.
Girl, yes, watch Sanford and Son, and you'll see it was like a guy who actually had a junkyard, and he had so many amazing treasures in his junkyard, and that's what our home became. So I had to scale back from my addiction. So I had a pause for a few years, and then I got back in the game at the end of 2018.
Okay, so you took a pause, you get back into it in 2018. When you come back in 2018, where are you selling on at that point?
Excellent question. So at that point, I had heard about Poshmark from a friend. So I downloaded that app. So I started selling on Poshmark. eBay was always there. So it was just Poshmark and eBay at that point. And surprisingly, when I did re-up and start at the end of 2018, like the money was coming in. I think that was my best success was when I started back up and I started with Poshmark. Like I was rolling in with the dough. Like it was incredible.
And what did you think, you know, being an eBay seller first and then coming to Poshmark? I mean, a lot of times for eBay sellers, you know, you wouldn't think that eBay sellers would be like, this is difficult, but it kind of is. I mean, or it's, I don't know if it's difficult, but it's different.
It is different. I am an older bird, right? So I'm 40. And, you know, a lot of the millennials, like they're used to the technology. Like I'd rather, you know, talk to you. I'm not about texting. So I felt like Poshmark was a little needy, like with the sharing and the like following people. Like, I don't want to follow you. Like I'm a leader. Like, well, you need to follow me. So I was struggling with that a little bit. Like I felt like it was really needy and it was really outside of like my normal scope of what I was comfortable with, because with eBay, you put it up there, boom, you know, the customer finds you. Whereas with Poshmark, I had to work for that. Like I worked for that money, honey, like seriously. So it was just, it was like, for me, Poshmark was really challenging for me. Like, and it's still to this day, like Poshmark is, you know, it just requires a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say is that what did you do to make it work for you? Or what have you done to make it work for you? Because I agree with you, like coming from eBay to then go to Poshmark, it's like you have to do all these things, you know, like the sharing, the following, the all that different stuff. So what do you feel like you did? Did you just adapt?
Yes. So adapting, literally falling asleep, hitting share, like, you know, having my daughter jump in, you know, doing it for me, like sitting, you know, in unconventional places. I'm not going to say, but just, you know, using that time to, you know, share and follow in order to gain visibility. So adaptation, I would agree 100%.
Yeah. And then, you know, do you feel like the buyer for you was different than eBay? Did you find, because a lot of times people say, well, I list different items on eBay than I do Posh.
Great question. So I am a vintage reseller. So I have a specific client. So yes, 100%. I would say that with eBay, I was able to get higher offers, and I would get those girls or even guys, you never know, who would be more, you know, be willing to buy the item outright versus Poshmark. A lot of people I notice, they're just looking for fast fashion, fast cheap. And, you know, I feel like as a curator, because I'm a curator, I feel like with my specific collection, I don't feel like Poshmark is my primary channel now, unless I find that really specific person that is looking for something that I have. But for the most part, it's Poshmark is pretty dead for me. I did sell something the other day, and it was like she gave me full price. It was a random piece. And I have those moments where I'm just like, wow, like she was really my customer. She was for me, because most of the time people will just try to lowball me, or they don't like it and they don't appreciate just my aesthetic or my vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, my next question was to talk about, you know, what is your aesthetic and what you're picking up? So have you, in your reselling journey, have you always been a vintage reseller? Have you ever done modern? Do you ever dip into modern still?
Great question. So initially when I did start out, I was not doing vintage primarily. It was just random. Like I would just pick up random things that I thought was cute and I would just sell them. And, you know, I was younger then. So as we get older and our style evolves and our tastes change, then it became a targeted thing. Like, I decided, okay, you know, I want to start shopping for a specific girl, like, you know, Tracee Ellis Ross, like she is my client. Like I started to think about just like the type of client and customer base that I wanted to create. So then it shifted to more of, you know, a specific, item or specific things that I was starting to look for. So, yeah.
So do you source, but like my style, do you think about decades? Like what is your style?
So I thought I was an 80s girl. I mean, 80s is true and blue to my personal style. But I would say now I'm more gravitating towards 70s. So I would say, yes, my business is Time Capsule Vintage. So I do have to cater to all eras of fashion in order to, you know, be true to my brand. But I do have some things from the 50s. I do have some things from the 60s, but I would say the bulk of my inventory, when I look back and kind of assess, it's mostly 80s and 70s. So I'm a little, I need to broaden my scope. I'm noticing as I'm looking through my inventory.
No, I get what you're saying. And okay. And for the 70s though, is that like where you feel like your heart is right now? Cause you said 80s also. Does it change for you?
You know, I think as I'm getting older, I think it is changing. And I think it also is changing with just like the people that I'm inspired by too. Like, you know, some of the people that, you know, I follow in terms of like YouTube. I watch a lot of like fashion videos and vlogs and things of that nature. So I think just being inspired by different people is what also is contributing to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but then 70s, a lot of the silhouettes and those things are so timeless. And you know, I love high waist. I love bold patterns and prints. So I think I think that's what it is. I think it's like the aesthetic of the 70s is what I'm drawn to. I notice, which is surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
So, for vintage, where are you doing, without obviously naming specific stores, but where are you doing your sourcing? Are you a thrift store, estate sale, a bins or outlet shopper? Like, where are you obtaining your vintage inventory?
All of the above. I love the bins. The bins, I've found some amazing things in the bins. I'd say that's like one of my favorite places to shop for vintage. I do go to I'm a Goodwill girl. Some people, we have Savers, out here in Arizona. I love Goodwill. I would say hands down, Goodwill is the place that I shop the most for the most of my things. And when I say, hey, I found this at Goodwill, but yeah, Goodwill is number
one. That's your jam.
Yeah, it's my jam. Number one, hands down.
Yeah. Okay. So where are you selling on currently? Like what websites? We talked about eBay and Poshmark. Are those your only two, or do you have others?
No. So I've recently expanded just my exposure because of the client that I want to attract. So Etsy, I just started Etsy a month ago. And then Tradesy, which I love, because I just noticed with those types of sites, you have people who know the value of vintage. So they're more likely to pay full price for it. And they're looking for usually something specific. And then a new platform that I just found, which is called Object Limited, which I was featured on today. They featured my closet, which is so dope. So yeah. And then I've been making sales on Instagram too, girl.
I love it. I love a multi-platform seller. That's awesome. Okay. So I have a couple questions. So first question is, you said you just started selling on Etsy. You've been reselling since 2012. You sell vintage. I guess I'm surprised that you're just now on Etsy.
Yeah. I would say I'm just now getting really, serious about my business. Because before it was just like really a hobby, you know what I mean? So now that I'm investing more time and money and resources into my business, I think that it was really time for me to start to expand, because I have a lot of inventory. I mean, really, I have two bedrooms full of inventory and some things in my garage. Like, I have so much stuff. Like, I've been like on a mad dash in a year. I've collected so much stuff. Seriously.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know how many pieces it is? Like, roughly how many pieces that you've got?
I'd say maybe, I have maybe 600 pieces.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
Yeah. 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 About 600. And I've accumulated that in a year.
Yeah. So now that you've been on Etsy, what are you finding out about those customers?
So what I'm finding out about Etsy is that they like a lot of things, but I really haven't seen a lot of sales yet. But I'm not discouraged, because I know that a lot of times with vintage, a lot of people, they tend to like to search around, and it's really like a methodical process. I know, at least for me being a collector as well. I don't buy just the first thing that I see, because vintage, things do appreciate. So if you find the right piece, it can last you forever. And, you could always, resell it at a higher value, because it's like collecting art ultimately. So I just noticed that there's just like a lot of watching and liking versus Poshmark. I do get offers, but I decline those offers, because you're not about to get a vintage Lanvin scarf for $35, boo. It's not working. It's not going to happen.
Right. I know. And that's kind of what I love about Etsy, is that there's no offer button, right? It's just like full price or nothing.
Right. Exactly.
That's the best.
Yeah. So that's where I'm, you know, headed to. I've also done, a few pop-up shops. So I do like the aspect of being able to be face to face with my customer and letting them be able to touch it and, you know, see it and try it on, because vintage can be really finicky, as you know, like women, mm-hmm. even the sizes of women, they were so different back then, and current.
Yes.
So different. So that is another challenge that I face with vintage, you know, being a vintage dealer or reseller, is that, you know, I have a really narrow customer base.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about those pop-ups. I mean, how many have you done? Where are you doing them at?
How
profitable are they or aren't they?
Yeah, I've done a few. I've done about three. Mm-hmm. And they have been amazing. I always leave with selling more than I expected. I've done them all over the valley with a few other resellers, and that's great. So we're able to collaborate and say, hey, this will look good on you. And, you know, we kind of match up all of our collections together. So that's always great. So it's not like a competition. It's like, you know, a community coming together to dress the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Do you have in your area, do people have like vintage booths, like at indoor, you know, like indoor vintage booths, or do they do flea markets? Is that a thing in your area?
Yeah, we have flea markets. We've popped up at just like small businesses. So it's a win-win for the small business and for, you know, obviously us, but we have flea markets. I mean, people do pop-ups everywhere. There's even like collective shops where, you know, there's a business that'll have different vendors in a space. And then, you know, they do monthly pop-ups, monthly events. I mean, Phoenix, Arizona is just like so huge. I mean, we have a pop-in arts and fashion scene. People don't.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. People really wouldn't think of it. Phoenix, Arizona is that type of, you know, I guess city, but yeah, we really have a lot to offer. I mean, it's incredible.
That's cool. So I'm curious about the new platform that you mentioned, Object Limited. So I'm not familiar with it. Can you tell me, like, is it a website or an app or what is it?
Yeah, so it's an app on iOS. I don't think it's on Android yet. But yeah, Object Limited was actually something that was shared with me by a friend. And they sell, I mean, you can buy and, you know, buy vintage. And not even vintage, but just like really unique things. It's a highly curated site. So you'll find a lot of unique and interesting pieces on that site. You can do video, which is really cool. And it's really ultra chic. It's really ultra chic. And I would say that it's more high end than some of these other platforms that, you know, I've used.
I'll have to check it out. I'm curious. I always love, whether I sell on them or not, I always love checking out the new platforms and seeing all about them. What's their commission? Do you know off the top of your head?
You know, I haven't sold anything yet. That's a great question. I don't know what their commission is. I need to know that. Oh my God. Why don't I know?
No, it's okay. I'm sure it's standard. Like, it's probably industry standard, somewhere between 10 or 20%. That would make sense. So, well, that's cool. So, and then Instagram. So I know, you know, you have your own personal Instagram or a reseller one, but then you have one specifically for your store or your online store, right? When did you start selling through Instagram? Did it just start happening naturally? Like, people were asking, you know, can I buy this? How does it work?
Well, I just started this recently because I have an abundance of, you know, inventory, and I work full time. So listing isn't something that is always easy for me, because I do work in a very demanding industry. So I'll just put things out there, and I'm like, hey, if you want this, DM me, send me an offer. And I've been pretty successful in selling things directly from Instagram, you know, hook up that Venmo or that PayPal invoice, and then it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of on that note, right, we didn't really talk about whether you're part-time or full-time, but we've kind of alluded to it. So you are part-time. You do have another full-time job. I mean, how do you manage both? Do you manage both? I mean, what are kind of the struggles that come along with
that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I do work a full-time job. Well, the good thing about my job is that I actually have the flexibility to be able to work the hours that I want. Oh, so nice. Generally what I do is I start at 6:30 and then I'll, you know, start taking pictures on my lunch break. So I'll devote an hour to taking pictures. Mm-hmm. To be able to maximize my time after work. And then once I get off, then that's when I do the editing and, you know, I'll do some social media interaction and just engagement at that time. And then in the late evening, then I'll post. So I'm up literally. Mm-hmm. I have long days. Like I won't stop until maybe like 11 at night. And then, you know, I start all over again. So it's a long, long day. But I love it. I love
it. Yeah, no, it's funny just saying that. It's like, that's such, you know, you're just a reseller. Like, that's all of us, is just those long days. And there's no, I feel like there's no, firm lines between one job to another. They kind of all bleed together. We're just working all the time. That resonated with me, Ebony.
yeah, for sure. And I have to be more, but what I would say is that this, you know, being at home now with COVID and running my business, like I have to get more organized. I would say that's one of the biggest, I'm not going to say a shortcoming, but it's one of the things that, one of my action items that I'm trying to work on is just having more structure into my day to be able to fit things in, because I'm exhausted. Like I'm not sleeping hardly because I'm like, oh, I forgot to list this. Oh, I forgot to put this detail. Right. Oh, like, so I need to really like segment my time so that I'm able to maximize it, because there's not enough hours in a day to do what we do. Like, seriously.
No, there isn't. And being working from home, it's like, it sounds like a dream for most people, but then once you actually do it, it's a huge struggle, because when you're at home, there's so many distractions.
It is. It is. And thankfully I do have, you know, a quiet space to do my thing. But yeah, it is easy to get distracted. Especially when, you know, you have your phone going off, sales are coming in, people are asking questions, and then, you know, you're trying to talk to a client on the phone and then you lose the sale. And it's just, it's just all
things. Yeah. And then you got to put that load of laundry into the dryer.
And I'm cooking I'm cooking gourmet meals here.
Right.
Like, I like,
oh, okay. Like, well, I'm coming over to your house.
Yeah. Like I cook, I mean, every, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I'm cooking for myself and my husband. So, that's another thing. So I'm doing it all. Like, I'm Superwoman. I have a cape, you know.
I believe it. You probably literally do. You probably have a few nice vintage capes.
Oh yes, child. Yes.
I love a cape. Okay. So,
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
You kind of mentioned how your house right now, it's, you know, that's your workspace for both your full-time job as well as your reselling job. And you've got inventory in some of the garage and in some two of the bedrooms. So what does your workspace look like? Do you, you know, like, where's your photo space?
Yeah.
What does your inventory look like? All of that.
Well, like I said, I don't really have a lot of structure. So my photo space is where I get the best light, which is the north side of the house, which is my workspace. So I have a desk, And that used to be my daughter's bedroom. She's moved out. So I've turned that into my office, quote unquote. So we have a couple of racks in there. We have my desk, and then I use the floor. And then I have like a, you know, I don't even know what it's called, but I use like paper, and I take pictures on things that I want to do flat lays. Mm-hmm. And then when I want to model my stuff, I come in my bedroom, which is in the south part of the house, because I have an open wall, and then I take pictures of anything that I want to wear on my body in my bedroom, because I have really good light there.
And how do you decide what is going to get, like, what's the deciding factor for what gets modeled and what doesn't?
Obviously fit. What fits, I will wear. And then jewelry, accessories, some things that, you know, scarves, things that I can't fit, either will go on like flat lays. I did recently buy a mannequin. Shout out to my girl Estelle. That's her name, Estelle. but she's a little thick. She's thick. She's thick. Like she is. She's pretty hot and tempting. She is fat. Like in all the right places, and it's not a bad thing. So
I love it.
Yeah. So a lot of things don't go on her. So I don't know if I'm regretting that investment, but. She does look good with, you know, belts, and, you know, I'll put belts on her. I'll do, you know, handbags on her. The ones that are like long, like shoulder bags on her. So it just really depends. Like I have like so many different things that I'm kind of playing around with. But I would like to have like a cohesive look. Like that's another thing that I'm trying to, create, is just like a cohesive, like, collection, or a cohesive, like, aesthetic for my, you know, closet. So I don't know.
Do you find that items that are modeled sell quicker for you?
Oh yes. And I just started modeling my things, by the advice of a friend. Oh yeah. I had one of the best weeks that I've had in a long time last week because of modeling my pieces. So yeah, I would agree. And that's what I, am focused on. So I'm working out, I'm making sure that I'm eating well, so I can look good in my stuff.
Oh, I love that motivation. I wish I had that motivation in me, Ebony. Oh my God. Well, your photos always look amazing, and you just look amazing. So, I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. You kind of, if you weren't modeling stuff, I would tell you to start modeling stuff. So
thank you, girlfriend. I just started. It took a year for me to do it.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. I just started a week ago.
That is so crazy. Like, I would have thought you would have always been modeling your stuff. Cause Joel, I mean, I feel, do you just model in general? Cause all your pictures on Instagram are amazing.
That, you know, at modeling is something that I think I want to start doing just in my spare time. No, I'm not a model. I've just have friends that are just great. They just have cameras and they want to take pictures of me. So I'm just blessed that.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, who's taking all these pictures of you?
Yeah, I have really great friends that, you know, we create content together, which is a win-win, and I get these great pictures. So yeah, I think that is something that I'm going to start, you know, maybe tapping into. I'm going to buy a camera myself so I can take my own pictures. So photography and modeling is also a new passion that I've discovered through modeling my own clothes and modeling for other people, you know, their inventory. Cause I also model for other people too. Cause it's a community, you know?
Right. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we touched on it a little bit, but I'm curious if you have more to say about this, you know, but my question is, what are the challenges you face in your business? Now, I know you said it's kind of the struggle is being superwoman, right? Being at home and having all these millions of things to do.
Yeah.
In addition to your full-time job.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest challenge you feel like you're facing right now?
I would say, like I said earlier, vintage is so specific. So, you know, vintage isn't everyone's thing. Like some people, you know, when they think about vintage, they think about, you know, old, stuffy, plain, polyester, stiff. And, you know, that a lot of that is true. I like a lot of that stuff. But I just have a specific customer. Like, you know, it's just, I have to find like my customer. So, a lot of times I do sit on a lot of my stuff for a long time because, you know, a lot of vintage clothing, it's small, you know, a lot of it is small. So I have a narrow customer base, the sizing, and it's also pricey. Like my stuff is not cheap because I put my time and my eye into curating, this collection. So a lot of times people, you know, they want to lowball, but like vintage is art. It's like collecting art. So a lot of my things are not priced at a low point for someone who wants to just have a higher turnover. I would rather sell three pieces for $100 than selling 30 pieces at $10. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So,
no, and I get it because, I mean, time is money. You're already busy with your full-time job. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So those are some of the things that I would say is just price, customer base, sizing. Those are some of the challenges.
And I'm just thinking this is more of like a fun question here, but what's like your, do you have like a highest dollar vintage sale that sticks out in your mind?
I do.
Or just like an exciting one.
I do have an exciting one. So I was in Goodwill and, you know, I found these Z Cavarucci pants. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But they were like popular back in the 80s and the 90s. I don't know if you remember like those high-waisted pants that had like the little pleats in the front and you can get them in like, you know, cotton or, you know, acid wash. I think Saved by the Bell, like later, like, you know, the pants that he would wear with like his, you know, his not turtlenecks, but his tank tops. With the high top sneakers, right? So I found a pair of those in Goodwill for like $1.
Oh wow.
Right. And then I listed it on Poshmark and I got $125 for them. I mean, and I sold them in less than a week. So it was like really a person, again, that random person that knew the value and the maybe it just gave them nostalgia or maybe it just gave them a good feeling, but like it was just incredible, like how fast I sold them and they didn't even send me an offer. It was just like, boom. So that one was good. And I've had some other higher sales, but like that one stood out to me the most because it's just such a random piece. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I can totally see Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, everyone
doesn't
know.
One of the first things I thought of.
Yeah. Like people, a lot of people don't know about that brand unless you are an old head and, you know, you had a pair or, you know what it is. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, totally. Okay. Well, where do you see the future of your business going?
Well, I do see it being positive because a lot of the younger generation, they're like now getting into vintage. Mm-hmm. So I notice now, like with just paying attention to just like the girls on Instagram, they're gravitating more towards, you know, that retro fashion. And also with COVID, a lot of people can't go out and shop. So I feel like this is really going to put me in a great place where I can tap into a customer base that I wouldn't have before because everybody's at home, they're on their phones. So I think that it's going to be now because of just, people can't go to the stores anymore. I mean, stores, retailers are closing down. And also with people just wanting to have, I don't know. I'm just noticing that girls are really wanting to have like unique styles. Like I feel like the girls that I follow, they aren't over sexualized anymore. So they're wanting to be more modest in their approach to just their look and what they're trying to project. So I feel like that's where vintage comes in because I would say I am a modest person in terms of like my look. So I see how that is appealing to younger girls and girls with higher incomes as well.
And what are your thoughts on going full time? Is that something that you've ever thought like, maybe that's something I would want to do?
That is something that I've tossed around. Especially with this uncertain economy, I am in sales, so I mean, who knows? But I am setting the stage for myself to do that full time, especially if I'm forced to do it because of the uncertain economy. So. Yeah, that is something that I'm totally open to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in thinking about some of the, unique pieces that you're picking up that a lot of young people are looking for. I guess I'm just curious, like, have you ever thought about selling on Depop?
You know, Depop is definitely on my radar. I do have a Depop account.
Okay.
So I think that I need to explore that, especially with some of the pieces that I have at lower price points and things that aren't as demure or more mature. So I think that that is something that I'm going to explore, because I have been tapping more into that 90s aesthetic now that I'm going out shopping. And I noticed that a lot of the younger girls, a lot of them, they do like 90s. Yeah. So I'm definitely open to it.
Yeah.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I was looking through your Instagram page, and I'm like, all those like fringe jackets you have, I'm like, oh, I feel like people on Depop would want that. And
yeah.
And the fact that you model, you know what I mean? I feel like modeling... people respond to modeled garments well on there. I feel like it's a platform that it's people respond well to it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that that'll be another one that I'll, try out. I'm home. I'm, like I said, I just have to try to fit it in. I think I need an assistant.
Yeah, I know.
I need an assistant.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's like half the battle. It's just like, sure, there's endless opportunities, but where are you going to come up with the time?
Shucks. But yeah, I think I'll get better with it. And I did verify that the commission on Object Limited is 15%. So you were right on.
Oh, okay.
You know your stuff.
Oh, I'm just guessing. Well, my next question, which I don't know if you probably know the answer on this one, do they have like a shipping service set up, or is it like ship on your own?
So for the shipping, I actually just looked that up for you. So for the shipping, they are paying. So when the customer sees a price, it's inclusive of the shipping free.
Okay. Got it. So then do they give you a UPS or USPS label? They must do something. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah. So it says if you choose a container size, the default is a UPS priority bubble envelope. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So it says with this option, you'll receive an automated shipping label immediately after a sale.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. So I just started requesting UPS to deliver packaging. I was not on that. Like I'm telling you, like that has been a godsend. I didn't even know that you can get free stuff from UPS.
I've never done it. Tell me more about it.
Yeah. So I went on UPS.com. Uh-huh. USPS.com, excuse me.
And oh, the USPS. Okay, yeah, I've done that one. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, not UPS, but USPS.com, and they delivered. I mean, you know. So yeah,
tell everyone else. I don't know. Not everyone knows.
Yeah. So if you would like, you can go to USPS.com and you can actually select some of the different size packages that you would like, and they'll deliver it at your doorstep. And again, I'm late to the game. It's been a godsend.
It's awesome. And there's, because you can just get box sizes on there that you maybe wouldn't be able to get at your local post office for whatever reason. Sometimes they don't carry every size box, and there are so many different sizes of packaging, which, it's super useful. Do you ever do the package pickup?
I have not, but I think that with COVID, I think I'm going to start. My husband, he doesn't go anywhere. I'm a little bit more adventurous. I'm not going to lie. So I don't mind going out to drop stuff off, because I just need it for my sanity. But I think that with, our numbers in Arizona, I think I do need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, you know, it doesn't always work for everybody in every area. Like I've heard some people, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, their postal carrier maybe doesn't pick it up like predictably, even though they're supposed to. But I've used it. I really like it. You know, I've only had a few problems with it, but it can be nice. Like, you know, when you're a busy person, like yourself, right, for instance, Ebony. So,
right.
But I also get the appeal in sometimes just going out and having a reason to go to the post office, you know, just to get out, especially these days when getting out feels so novel, you know? But okay. So I guess my next question for you, or last question for you, is what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out? And, you know, you could take it back to 2012 if you want, or maybe just go as far back as 2018 when you really jumped back in.
Yeah.
You
know, I would,
what would you say?
I would say, you know, once you've, so for me, I would say if looking back, I would have set all of my logistics up properly. So I would have gotten the business incorporated right then and there, because I could have taken advantage of the tax write-offs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have gotten my logo back then, like all of the logistics, like logo, business cards. I would have gotten a website, you know, more social media interaction. So those little things like that, I think would have made the difference and would have set me up for success, because now I'm trying to catch up. Like literally, I just set up my business just the other day. I just set it up.
Oh, okay.
I just set it up.
Well, better late than never. I'm not going to shame you for that.
But, you know, so those are the things that I just wish that I would have done in the beginning. Because I feel like, you know, as a business, I'm a disregarded entity, because, you know, I'm a single member LLC. So, you know, but still, you still get up to $5,000, I think, that you can write off in a year. That could have helped me with, you know, my light bill and traveling to the stores and sourcing. Yeah. And so, you know, that type of thing I'm kind of bummed about. But like you said, it's better late than never.
Yeah. And, you know, I just interviewed somebody recently and they gave similar advice. She said, and I think maybe you'll agree with this, she said, plan to be bigger than you are.
Ooh,
or
yes,
than you imagine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Isn't that so good?
It is so good. And that's the mantra. And that's what I think about when I'm posting. You know, I think about myself as a star. And, you know, when I put my content out, I put it out as if a million people will see it, because you just never know. You know what I mean?
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to see it, especially on Instagram. You know, if you're utilizing hashtags, you know, you never know who's going to stumble upon your page and see your stuff, or right, who might be your next big client,
right? Or who's gonna ask, you know? Or you can be on a podcast, you can be on Flip the Script, you know,
I mean, you know, you never know. Or you never know who you'll meet at PoshFest,
you know, for sure. So it's definitely been an amazing journey. I've met so many amazing people. I've learned so many things along the way. You know, I found some amazing things. I've cried over losing some things. I've lost a lot of money. I've made some money, but it's a journey. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think you have to, just like you're kind of saying here, like you have to go through every single part of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's been
to get to the,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say to get to where you are now.
Yeah, for sure. You're right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ebony. This has been such a fun conversation. I feel like I've gotten to know so much more about you. I know there's many more layers, but I feel like I've peeled back the reselling layers and I've gotten to hear so much more about, you know, where you started out and where you think the business is going. And I'm really excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yes. All right. Well, I'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you again to Ebony for being on this week's episode of the podcast. Again, you can find her on Instagram under the usernames effortlessly.ebony and time.capsule.vintage. All of that information will be in the show notes for you. I apologize, I did have a little bit of technical difficulties on my end in this episode. Hopefully it didn't annoy you too much. Ebony's sound was perfectly fine, but mine just cut out a little bit. I was recording in my new office space and not my usual closet at home. I hope you all have been having a wonderful week, getting some sales in. Hopefully you're not experiencing any summer slowdown, but just in case you are, keep on listing and keep on selling.